Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Welcome to Fat Mascara. I'm Jessica.
I am still Jen. Ooh, you're Jessica now, not just Jess.
I know. I wanted to get a little formal with you.
You fancy in November. I like it.
Jennifer, what do we have today?
Okay. Remember my cellar waters, people. Mm-hmm. My cells everywhere. We're going to talk about a bunch of different micellar products that are coming out. Then it's time for vulva chat. Actually, let's not brand it that. I don't know. We're going to talk about procedures for your vagine. Also, I hate when people make stupid words for vagina. It's for your vagina. I'm just going to say it, and that's what it's for.
Call it what it is.
Lastly, there is a new Kevin Aucoin documentary, which we've been teasing for a year and a half.
It's Mage. It's Mage.
Troy Surratt was a producer on it. He's a longtime friend of the pod. He was on it. I can't even remember what episode, but
a while ago. It was a good one.
Yeah. So Jess and I are going to give you our thoughts on that movie. And our guest
is the fabulous Sarah Brown, writer, former beauty director of Vogue, contributing editor for Vogue. Oh, my God. She's also one of the judges and a producer of American Beauty Star. She has a resume that will just make you weep. It's fantastic. She is going to chat with us about what she's up to, and we're just going to talk about the state of the biz. Rain came pouring down when I was drowning. That's when I could finally breathe. And by morning, gone was any trace of you. I think I am finally clean.
So if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you've heard Jess and I talk about micellar products. They're going to be bigger than ever in 2018. We've been seeing previews right now, just so you guys know, we're seeing all the products that are coming out in January. You've probably seen some online as well, but you'll be seeing them in stores soon. I have noticed my cells moving away from just for your face and into hair and body. Jess, have you seen this trend as well?
Micellar cleansers are so hot right now, Jen.
So hot right now.
I just went to a Garnier preview last week. That was really cool. They're even doing it felt like an oxymoron, but the technology is somehow going to everything. There's a micellar foaming cleanser that's out this month.
Right.
Micellar foaming cleanser.
Okay, and just so everybody knows, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jess, since your hubby-to-be is a cosmetic chemist, the micelles are like, they're a type of surfactant that just sort of wraps around the dirts and the oils and then...
It clings to them.
And rinses
them
away.
Down the drain.
And exactly. There you go. Perfect. So
I don't know if he would be happy with that illustration, but that's how I understand it.
And they tend to be less drying than some of the old school harsher surfactants you might use to... get rid of dirt.
Correct.
And oil.
Rinses clean with no harsh rubbing.
The classic one was the Bioderma that came to America, and then it just Bioderma micellar water, and then it just took off. So you saw Garnier. I saw Herbal Essences is doing a micellar shampoo and conditioner.
Right.
And then Dove is doing a micellar body wash, if I'm not mistaken.
Wasn't there a body bar, too?
There was also a soap. It's the Dove bar, so it's not soap, with micellar. My thing is this. If it's going to foam up anyway, like, we're just using micellar as a marketing term because, like, it's going to get rid of dirt and oil anyway, right?
I can't get into the technology of it. Like, I don't know, you know, the micellar in the bar versus the micellar in the body wash. Like, I'm not an R&D expert, so I know they're not just putting micellar on the label. There is a difference.
In fact, we saw in one of the
demos.
One of the events we went to, there was a demo, and they were like, look, it rinses like this much more cleanly, but still without drying. And I was like, so just rinse like 2 seconds longer. Like,
I don't
have a problem with the way my soaps and my shampoo rinses out of my body.
Here's how you feel. It's not going to like rock your world in a way that your shower, your cleansing experience, I think we're saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Is going to be so wildly different.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, brands are challenged to create newness on this, like, it almost reminds me of like fashion, like this ridiculous scale.
My cells, they're so hot. We gotta do one.
Yeah. I mean, it's you know, it's almost like quarterly, maybe it's even faster for some brands.
Yeah.
That I really sympathize with them that they have to do this.
Yeah.
I don't think that we all need to upgrade our cleansers to micellar cleansers, especially like our body cleansers and our hair cleansers. If you want to try it, go for it. But I would bet my money that in 2 years, certainly 5 years, there's not going to be – some of these products will not exist. That's my feeling.
I want a micellar cotton swab, and I stick it in my ear, and it gets all the wax out. Is that gross? That's what I was just thinking about. Things
nasty.
Where would micellars be useful? I can't – I don't know.
Maybe a makeup remover.
Micellar floor cleaner. Like maybe the home goods people need to get into the micelles.
Actually, that's not bad because that's where something like you really want it to rinse away cleanly.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I think like points for trying. I'm willing to try these things, but I don't think we need to wash away all of our other cleansers.
Oh, I see what you did there. All right. On that note, get ready for 2018 because there's going to be micelles everywhere. Jess, you know what I want?
What do you want?
A hot beam of light pointed directly at my lady parts.
Whoa.
Just kidding. I don't know if I want that, but
whoa.
I know that derms and doctors are using their lasers for some very interesting things these days.
Yes. I actually learned about it over mini avocado toast and mini pancake stacks with Dr. Paul Jared Frank the other day. There I was at the Dr. Paul Jared Frank, like, you know, biannual, here's what's new in the world of, you know, plastic dermatological, you know, procedures. And he talked about all these new things. And then at the end, he saved the very end for these vaginal treatments.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I just want to be clear with you guys. Dr. Frank is not the one who's administering them. He's partnered with a feminine health expert, a doctor, like an OBGYN, to talk about these things and to do them in his office.
What are these things?
These things. I know I keep on saying these things. It's new to me, and I'm also slightly uncomfortable if you can't tell from my cadence. It's called the Core Intima. It's like C-O-2-R-E Intima, and we'll put this on the blog. It's an in-office non-surgical treatment. I need to say that non-surgical treatment because there are some like labiaplasty treatments that you may have heard about, and that's where they actually like, you know, operate on your vaginal lips. This is not that, guys. So there's this new laser called the Core 2 Intima, and it's an in-office non-surgical treatment. And what this does is it will treat your vagina. And my point is, like, as you get older, your vagina can change. If you've had babies, if you're just aging like we all are, you know, hopefully, your vagina will have less collagen.
We're talking about the inside of your vagina.
Oh, the inside,
not the
and
vulva.
The outside, baby.
So this isn't
the
like
inside
an
inside and the outside.
Okay. So the Core 2 is to tighten the inside?
Yes. So the vaginal wall and the entrance to the vaginal canal, which have collagen fibers, can stretch and lose vaginal tone and elasticity.
Especially if you've had a baby, I imagine.
You can even have urinary stress incontinence.
For sure. So this laser is used internally, for example, to shrink up the collagen, tighten the collagen.
What it's going to do is it's going to deliver controlled CO2 energy to the vaginal or vulval tissue, which makes more collagen, improves skin tone, vascularity, general appearance, and helps internal sexual function.
Who's ever going to see the inside of my vagina?
Well, it's not about the appearance of the inside of your vagina. It's about the collagen plumping it up. And also, this is very TMI. So if there are children around, if your mom's right
there. They need to know how lady parts work.
Well, maybe if your mom's there, if your dad's there, you might want to like turn this off. But it can help when you have improved collagen. Dr. Frank told me it can actually help with lubrication and make sex less painful. Because a lot of women find
sex. So we're not just talking about, I have a saggy vagina, I'm not happy with it. It can improve lubrication. It can make your sexual experience better. It can make you less incontinent if you're dealing with incontinence. Mm-hmm. So
and skin tone. Some people's skin tone changes.
What do you mean by tone? Like the color of it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it can change. They're all different colors anyway, right?
So well, they are, but some people, if they're used to having one color and then it turns another color, it makes them upset. I'm just saying it makes them upset.
Okay.
So, and also skin texture and tone. The texture certainly can change as you get older.
So you got the treatment.
I have not gotten it yet. And it sounded kind of, you know, a lot of people were kind of like, you know, I'm going to have to give my fellow beauty editors a lot more credit. People were not giggling, but there were a couple kind of, you know, little smiles, you know, some questions. It really is a new area of feminine health. Now, there are two ways, I think, to look at this. Mm-hmm. One is, you know, hashtag the patriarchy. Why do I have to put a laser up my hoo-ha to the tune of about $1,000 a session? And, you know, it is not very painful, according to Dr. Frank. Now, of course, Dr. Frank has not had this himself.
Because he knows exactly what it feels like.
Yeah, exactly.
To get a laser put up your hoo-ha.
But, you know, I think he said that, you know, like on a scale of like 1 to 10, it was like a 4 or something like that. I mean, don't quote me on that. But basically he said that his patients do not find it very uncomfortable at all.
But your point being, your first train of thought, do we even need it? Hashtag patriarchy.
And then he said, and I kind of love this. He said, you know, if women, and he really did have a very big picture view of this. He was not pushing this at all. He was just saying, you know, a lot of women are enjoying this, and he really didn't feel confident doing this by himself. He wanted to partner with somebody, and he does not do this himself at all. Mm-hmm. If you had a baby and you're having trouble, you know, you're pissing yourself when you're laughing or sneezing, and you don't
feel... Dude, that happens even if you haven't had a baby.
Yeah. And you don't feel sexy, and sex is an important part of, you know, the human experience. And this is within, you know, $3,000 is certainly a lot of money, but it's not like so crazy that it's only, you know, Zsa Zsa Gabor. Why do I pick these ridiculous references? Do you know who Zsa Zsa Gabor is? Okay. Only Melania Trump can afford this nonsense. It's like within reason. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, it's somewhat affordable to some people. Why would you not consider doing this? And then he had a really great story. He said his uncle is a urologist, and he said a long time ago his uncle said to me, you know, Viagra had just come out, and he said, people are talking to me like, oh my god, you sell Viagra, or you recommend Viagra to your patients, not sell, excuse me, you know, that's so pervy, or what is this, like, where are we going with this culture? Like, they're dick pills, they're erection pills. And it was just like super gross to everyone.
Right.
Now it's the biggest
thing. Like, who doesn't take Viagra?
Exactly. He's like, he goes, I have like, you know, he goes, you know, there are 20-year-old guys who take Viagra, and then there are 60-year-old guys who like cannot have sex with their wives.
So do you think we're on the early adoption phase of women being more accepting of getting these kind of laser treatments?
Yeah.
Because it improves pleasure, A, lubrication, B, and all these health issues you're talking
about. Right. I'm not, would never encourage people to be like, oh yeah, you should really get your vag fixed after having your baby. Like, no, that's not it.
Yeah, this isn't a vagacial. Remember when they were vagina facials?
Right.
This isn't that. This is real medical help.
Yeah, this is like, if you don't feel good about your sexual parts, if you're peeing while you're, you know, sneezing, why not investigate this? But I do not, this is absolutely elective.
Of course.
But I like that it's starting this conversation with a bunch of like beauty editors about sexual health at 9 a.m. in the morning.
I mean, it's not starting because these have been around for a while. But, you know, it's bringing it more into the mainstream that it's brought the prices come down a lot in the last few years. You don't have to go have surgery like a labiaplasty or a vaginoplasty. We'll put a link to the particular laser treatment you talked about on the blog in case you want to learn more. And then there are a couple other things similar to this that, you know, we'll give you links to as well.
Yeah.
Because we want you to hold your pee in, and we want you to have good sex.
There's also poise pads if you can't hold your pee
in. Yeah, because there's that. No judgies.
But I love this conversation. I'm not pushing you guys to get
We should be more open about it.
But I love, I love this conversation. I also love that, you know, we as women are talking about, but also that a man was like, you know, hey, yeah, this happens.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, understand how our bodies work.
Exactly.
Thanks. Listen, guys, Kevin Aucoin has come up on this podcast multiple times. He's one of, like, the godfathers of beauty. And some of you are familiar with the story, but we've alluded to the fact there is a documentary coming out about him. Jess, what is the name of the documentary? I call it the Kevin Aucoin Project in my head, but I forget what the name is.
Kevin Aucoin, Larger Than Life.
And isn't he, though? So we both got a chance to preview the movie. And honestly, I was just like, I've heard this story before. This is going to be nothing new. I thought it was really well done, and they had some good people, some former podcast guests that talked about Kevin, home footage. What did you think of it?
It was really, really heartwarming. It was, I couldn't believe how much original footage they had. I couldn't believe how
that
much
I hadn't seen before.
So much of his life was documented in a way that people did not document their lives before Instagram, before iPhones. And it was just this, like, rich vein of work, you know. And it wasn't just like, oh, still photographs and voiceovers. It was, you got to spend, like, part of Kevin's life with him, from him being, you know, working at a shop down in, you know, the South.
Louisiana,
to hanging out with, you know, him and his celebrity friends on set in New York when he was, like, on the rise. So it was really like being a fly on the wall.
Yeah. Some of the highlights that I really liked, I think was it Linda Wells that talked about this, or maybe Isaac Mizrahi, or I can't remember who, about how they plucked off all of Cindy Crawford's eyebrows for a runway show. And she like called and was like was mad at them and wanted money because she was losing work and blah, blah, blah.
Or she thought she was going to lose work.
Yeah. And then it turned out like a week later, because Kevin had done it, like, no eyebrows were the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
remember the 90s? Said, I'm sorry.
Yeah, when nobody had eyebrows. Had you ever met him back in the day?
No, I never got to meet
him. I mean, he was before my time, too. But yeah, I don't think a lot of people know the sad medical history and what he went through with drugs and things like that. And it told it in a very compassionate way.
I got to work on the book, Kevin Aucoin, A Beautiful Life, with Carrie Diamond.
Yeah.
I was assisting her. Yeah. She wrote the book, you know, it was a book that she wrote after he'd passed away. So I got to do some research.
So you knew all of this?
I knew a lot. I mean, the movie certainly told me some things I didn't know. You know, I don't have a complete comprehensive knowledge of everything that happened.
You're not his biographer?
No. So there were lots of surprises. But What came through and something that I picked up just from the research that I got to do with Carrie, but it was such like a joy to see on screen, was that he was really a fan of everyone that he worked with. Nothing really kind of cool, jaded. Yeah, like my friend Tina Turner, Winona, Tori Amos, blah, blah, blah. Everyone that he worked with, you could feel that he, when I say worshipped, I don't mean in like a dorky way. He admired them. They show this footage of him being obsessed with Barbara Streisand as a kid in high school. And you can see how much he loved women, the women he worked with as a professional at the top of his game.
Yeah.
And I think that's really what drove his success and what kept his, this is like my armchair, you know, philosophy thing, but
that's why I have a podcast,
exactly,
girl.
Exactly. So it's hard to talk about someone who was also, who left this earth too soon, and it feels kind of awkward doing it. But I think that really made him so successful because he put 150%. His jobs weren't gigs to him. Mm-hmm. They were like, you know,
and
love
he was
letters.
Infamous for that. Yeah, like he would spend letters. Hours on these women.
And he was so overly committed. And if you watch it, Tori Amos has some really great words at the end.
Yeah.
And you guys can see the movie in 2018. It will be out for...
It's coming out soon.
Yeah, for everyone to see.
Yeah. And I'll just add one last thing that I was really touched by. Yes, he loved and was fan of those women, but up there and maybe even higher were his mom, his sister, his niece. Like, yeah, he was doing Cher, who was a good friend all the time, but like he would do the same and make the same effort if he was doing his mother's makeup, who was like his muse. It just was beautiful. I really liked it. So when it comes out, you guys should definitely check it out.
I think you guys will. It is like 2 hours really well spent, 1 hour 45 or something like that. So this is definitely the fat number one must see in the Fat Mascara Film Club. We should start a Fat Mascara Film Club of like,
we give it two
beauty.
Wands up.
Definitely. We are with Sarah Brown, who had the job that a million girls would kill for. For over a decade, she was the beauty director at Vogue, one of the most revered editors in the business.
I feel like you're doing a movie introduction, like, the in the time.
Like, okay. Today, and I'm putting on that in a world.
In a world, that's
in
it.
In a world. She is a writer, among many other titles. She's still a contributing editor at Vogue. She is a columnist for Business of Fashion, one of my favorite websites. Addicted. She's also the president of Sarah Brown Advisory, and she is a judge on my favorite TV show, American Beauty Star.
Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you.
So, you know, I introduced you as the, you know, former Vogue beauty director. I mean, honestly, when it comes to beauty editors, still, it does not get any bigger than you. Sarah Brown, we all know who you are. You got that brass ring, but you eventually left Vogue. Why did you do it?
Well, first I have to say that being the beauty director at Vogue was the greatest privilege and honor, and I loved every second of it. But I did it for a very long time. And so I was coming up against my 15th anniversary, which I felt very proud of, and I also felt like this is a great milestone and sort of end cap. You know, the industry.
It's a good clean number.
Yeah, no, I felt it felt good, you know, because at first I felt like I'm going to make it at Vogue for 10 years. And that was my big goal.
That was the goal, 10 years?
Yeah, my big goal was to be at Vogue for 10 years.
1 year is like.
And, you know, when you're at year one, to imagine being somewhere for 10 years is huge, especially when you're young. You know, it's like a decade. I can't even imagine that. And so then 10 years came and went. And then it was like 12 years. And then I was thinking, like, okay, like, is this forever, or is this, you know, what's my next move, or, you know, I don't know. But basically at year 15, it was also a real turning point in the industry where media was changing, magazines, what it means to be a magazine was changing, beauty brands, social media, just everything is changing so much, and it was such an exciting time, and I felt like I had done that job and I had loved that job, but I also felt like there were things I didn't know how to do. And I didn't want to be someone who had an outdated skill set, you know?
Oh, that's interesting.
Because I wasn't really touching digital. A little bit, but not as much as some people in the building. I didn't have a lot of digital experience. I kept meeting with Silicon Valley people and app developers and all these people who would come through my office to show me what they were working on, and I didn't have their vocabulary, and I was really interested in what they were doing too. So I just wanted to sort of expand my skill set and get, like, I was always telling people I had a really, really nice tool belt with, like, the nicest tools, but there were spaces in my tool belt, you know?
That's a great analogy.
It's very,
should,
like,
be a writer.
Sounds, thanks. I'm going to check that out. So it just felt like a good moment, and it felt like a sort of, what else is there for me? And, yeah, you know, I was encouraged by all of the entrepreneurialism going around,
yeah,
and just the idea of taking a leap and seeing where I landed. And also, I think it was really scary, and it took me a long time to actually take the leap, but just the feeling of knowing that you're smart and you're good and you're gonna land somewhere good. It might take a little while, mm-hmm, and honestly, it's taken me a little while. I left Vogue 2 years ago, and sometimes it feels like a minute, and sometimes it feels like forever ago, and I miss it all the time because I really loved my job, and I love my Vogue family, and I was so proud to be there, and I love making a magazine, and I'm, you know, good at it.
Yeah.
I like being an editor. I like working with writers. I love working with the art department. There are all kinds of things about that job that I loved that I do miss. And it took me a little while to figure out, where's my place in the world, in the beauty world? What else is there for me? What else am I good at, or could I be good at? And so, you know, I also felt like I'm not like a baby anymore, but I'm not old, you know? And so,
right,
I don't know. Like, there's more for me to do. And I felt like, wouldn't it be cool to just be able to say yes to everything and see what sticks? And so,
Sarah had her year of yes.
No, I mean, I also had, like, frankly, actually, it wasn't completely yes. There were also some no's. But it was, like, this, you know, who would think I would be on, like, a TV show? Basically, for me, it was a great time to try new things. It was a time, and it still is a time, of incredible change in our industry. Everything about how we work is changing.
How long did you think about it, like, for? Like, years? Or was it, like, was there a moment where you said, oh, my God, you know what? I've got to do this.
There was a moment when it just felt right. And sometimes it's kind of like, if not now, then when, you, mm-hmm, know? Mm-hmm. It was like jumping off a cliff,
yeah,
you know, and also leaving a family that I love.
Yeah.
And leaving all kinds of certainty. That's what it is when you have, like, a job.
Yeah.
You know, working for yourself is really exciting, and it's really challenging and scary, and all kinds of new things you have to learn. And but this is the time, and it's just so encouraging to see so many young brands. And
yeah,
basically, I'm just, you know, I was, and I continue to be, really encouraged by all of the entrepreneurialism, all of the collaboration, all of these young brands and startups, and even established brands collaborating with other established, mm-hmm, brands. And just, like, it's just this moment of experimentation and of trying things, and it's exciting to be part of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why, you know, I used to be able to describe what I do in one line, one word, and now it's like many lines of, and this, and this, and this, and,
you saw me struggle,
you know,
with the intro.
I know. I mean, on the one hand, it's kind of cool to say, like, I do 10 different things. On the other hand, it's like, who am I? What is my identity? I don't know. It's kind of different every day. If you asked me right now, if I was to meet someone at, like, I don't know, a bar or something, and they would say, you know, what do you do for a living? I mean, my reflex is always to say I'm a writer.
Mm-hmm.
And that is still the core of who I am and what I am, and I will always be a writer. But now I'm also a brand advisor. Now I'm also a TV producer.
Tell me about this show. Are people responding to you? Like, what are you hearing? First of all, how much fun are you having? Because you look like you're having fun.
You look like you're having a lot of fun.
I'm totally having fun. And I would say that, yeah, the best part of kind of being able to get up in the morning and decide what you're going to do, and, you know, is that you can have a lot of fun. It's something that I never would have done, like, 3 years ago. You know, if someone had said, would you like to be on a competition reality show?
I was like, and I was so curious to see how you would be as a judge.
I thought it was,
yeah,
cool.
Well, you know, it's like everybody across the board, Bobby Brown, family members have said, not, they haven't asked me, they've said, you're the bitch, right? Like, everybody has just, like, gone there, and I was like, what's that mean? Like, thank you. I'm not the bitch. I'm actually the nice guy.
But
I felt like you were like the Tim Gunn to Project Runway.
More than the nice guy, I'm the fair guy. And I think anybody who knows me knows that I'm very direct and I'm very fair. You might not like what I'm saying, but it's always fair. And
you won't be catty or bitchy just for the sake of TV.
No, because I'm not trying to be a character. You know, because that's kind of like this. The thing I like about our show is that it's not about like over the top. I mean, yeah, it is about over the top. But in terms of like the judges and Sir John, who's the mentor, we don't have cheesy gimmicks or, you know, like funny one liners. We're not like that.
Yeah.
We're more real. The conversation's elevated, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not petty or anything like that. It's not, you know, saying things at somebody's expense. Like, trust me, there's a lot of drama among the contestants who are amazing, but not so much among us. The thing with this is that in my role as a judge, so I'm a producer on the show and also a judge, and my co-judge is Russell James, who's an incredible photographer, who's the nicest guy in the world, super cool. Our role, or at least our role as I see it, is to give these people feedback. And they really want feedback. They want to be better. They want to do better. They want to know how you liked what they did. I mean, they really want the feedback. They're trying to win, but they also want to grow. And that was sort of surprising to me in a good way. But I see my role as giving them fair feedback, you know, telling them what I liked, telling them, you know, where I feel like they won and where I feel like they missed the mark. But saying it in a way that is fair. And I mean, we can be funny and show personality. I mean, otherwise, nobody wants to watch a show that's super dry and boring, but it's not about making someone feel crummy. And the thing that's been really interesting is that when, you know, they're standing up there in front of you on their best behavior, hoping that they don't get eliminated and waiting for your criticism.
You know,
when you're the one giving it, it's real different saying something to someone's face than, you know, discussing amongst friends. Like when you give negative criticism to someone, even if you try to frame it in the nicest way, it is like you are shooting arrows at them.
Is it hard for you to do that?
It's my job. So, I try to find a nice way to say it. You know, it's similar to when you're an editor and you're editing a writer's piece and you're going over it with the writer and it's not a very good piece of writing. You know, it's like you have to figure out a way to say something that's constructive and that's true, but that's not shitty. You know,
can I say that word here? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But when you give them good criticism, or not good criticism, when you give them good feedback, you see them puff up and they're so proud. Yeah. And you realize that, yes, these are people that signed up to be on a reality show, but they're real people, and what you say to them is very personal. And when you tell them something good, it really makes them feel good. And when you tell them something bad, the mature ones can take it and can sort of say, I see your point, or, you know, they can take it and try to grow from that. And that's the point of it. The point isn't just to knock people down. We've got all kinds of people. Some people don't take the criticism as well.
And it's not an age thing. There's some young people that are mature and some older people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Keep watching, because it's unbelievable. There are some people that completely change their attitude. Cool. And become like, I'm not going to say they're better people at the end, but they're kind of better people at the end. So it's amazing. It was really fun. I didn't think it was good. I knew it was going to be fun, and I went there to have fun, you know. I went there just, you know, it's so far away from Vogue doing, you know, a reality TV show in California. And so, you know, and I've done Vogue most all my life, and before that Elle magazine. And so, you know, this is definitely like super different than that. And I didn't put any pressure on myself. I just told myself, this is completely different. Just enjoy it.
And who are some of your favorites right now in the beauty world, hairstylists and makeup artists that you just love what they're doing? I mean, you're looking for the next beauty star, but like, who are the stars to you right now? Who just did your hair for your Halloween costume?
Because it was fabulous. Ashley Javier.
Yeah.
It's always my beauty star. My best friends. I mean, I love a hairstylist who, it's interesting right now, you know, especially with social media. There are so many different kinds of makeup artists and hairstylists. There are people who do things that are sort of made for Instagram.
Yeah.
And then there are people who are real session stylists, you know, and then there are people who are, I call it sort of, you know, like a real couture hairstylist, or, you know, and that would be a more like, it's an Ashley, it's a Guido, it's an Orlando, it's a Julianne Deese, it's a Luigi Moreno. Mm-hmm. It's these people who can just, they have a real feeling for history and for reference, and they can create anything, and it will be a sort of a beautiful piece of art.
Like a sculpture.
Then there are people who are totally cool who
are, you know, do a badass blowout for the red carpet. Mm-hmm. There's space for them too. That's what's interesting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And then I'm thinking, like, and then there's like a guy Tang who like has a cool Instagram feed with a million hair colors, but like, would you have him do hair on set for, you know, a big magazine? Who knows?
Well, that's what's interesting. You know, people have different skill sets now, and I think it used to be. I mean, there's just so much. The world of beauty is different and bigger now. The landscape has completely changed.
Did
you know?
Feel like you? I mean, I don't know. Maybe they already knew this, but you had to tell the folks on American Beauty Star like to find their niche. I didn't think. I mean, I'm just kind of repeating what
the
you
contestants.
Said. Yeah, that like everyone. I always hear like, oh, from, you know, budding young makeup artists and hairstylists. And we talked about this with another guest recently, Daniel from Streeters. You know, people say, okay, I want to be a makeup artist and I want to be in Vogue. I want to be a hairstylist and I want to be in Vogue. Well, what does that mean?
Do you know what was interesting about this?
What?
All these people, so we started out with 12 contestants, mm-hmm. 6 being hairdressers, 6 being makeup artists. Yes, they would have loved to be in Vogue. It's not their only goal. It's not their be-all, end-all, the way that styling for a magazine editorial shoot mm-hmm. once was. I mean, yes, to be in Vogue would make their career completely, and they wouldn't. It's like an actor getting an Oscar.
Right.
There's just no comparison, right? But a lot of these people, they just want to be influencers. Mm. That's what's different. They are, you
ooh,
know,
like
they,
Instagram influencers.
Yeah, like here's the thing. I was one day on the show. I was referencing Guido. I mean, I could just tell half these people did not know what I was talking about.
I had to say
Guido Palau, like the most prolific hairdresser working today. You know, he's backstage at every single show. He created grunge, like Guido. They don't all know who that is.
Well, how did that make you feel?
It made me feel like there's a generational divide. It made me feel like there's
old school and new school. But you're not old school.
I'm not old school, but I straddle. Well, it's what's happening right now. Things are changing right now. This is what I'm saying. Everyone does not. I think it used to be if you wanted to be a hairdresser, you wanted to get on the team of one of these super stylists and be backstage at all the best shows, and then, you know, assist someone like Guido and work on editorial for Vogue and Italian Vogue and W and work on huge ad campaigns and work with these incredible photographers. Like that was the goal. For a lot of these people, they want to keep building their YouTube audience and get makeup and hair companies to pay them to like flash their stuff.
I don't hear judgment in your voice though. So are you saying like
I'm not judging because things
because that is a valid goal.
You can judge it all you want, but the world is changing. Like it's not productive to be like I wish it was like it used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I wish people like still read magazines.
Were you annoyed that they didn't know who Guido is though? Like
I could
were
just
you, like
tell,
do your homework?
I could just tell that, you know, they were sort of like, "What?" when I was, you know, talking about him. I mean, I'm sure some of them sort of knew who we brought Chris Appleton on the show mm-hmm. and some people freaked out a little bit you know because Chris does J-Lo and he does Kim Kardashian
right.
and like
yeah.
that is the age that we're living in right now
got it
where you know for me like I might be more blown away by someone who does Joan Smalls you know
mm-hmm. right
but that's because like I'm a fashion person
yeah
you know and so and it's a very rarefied small part of the world. And so what's going on with social media and with all of this sharing and all of this conversation is that there's just a much broader platform and you know, I don't
know. Who else the most followers wins.
Let's talk about some of the moments that come out of that, though, like trends, for example, which every beauty editor hates hearing that word. Obviously, there aren't trends anymore. Things just, you know, are bigger than that. What do you want to see more of?
I mean, look, I don't know if I have outdated taste. I like pretty and polished. I like edgy, too. I like cool. But, I mean, I like pretty and polished.
I want to see more.
But I love color.
Like skin, that, like, beautiful, like, skin texture. Does that even make sense?
No.
Pores?
Because are you talking about, like, that glassy skin? Because
that's, oh, glass skin. That's
that,
like hot
again,
right now.
That's just too much.
No.
It feels like, you know, like Kira skin.
Trends where it's like, you don't look like you have a pore. You don't look human. You look like a mannequin.
No, I'm talking
Westworld.
About, like... I'm talking about like kind of like suede, like skin that looks like
suede.
This doesn't make sense. Skin that looks like skin, like
Jess is over here like patting
know,
her cheeks.
I can't explain it. Like after I put on like I like my skin when I put on like an oil and then like a creamy foundation and like a cream blush. And
do you want to know what will do that for you?
What?
By Terry, Sheer Expert.
Okay. Is that the foundation? All that stuff in there?
It was my favorite foundation. It was my favorite foundation. It is not new. I've been using it for... I'm very loyal.
Like, is this when the one that's in a brush?
No. Well, yes, there is the brush one, but I've been using the one that's just the liquid in the tube.
Okay.
I brought like 10 tubes of it to the show.
Okay.
Good on
TV.
It is my favorite
forever because there's sheer expert and then there's cover expert. And so the cover expert's for when like your skin's dull, you have zits, whatever. Mm-hmm. You have dark circles. The sheer expert is when you look pretty good, but I feel like you always need foundation. Yeah. That's what I think. It's so pretty. I'm going to have it on now.
But you look like skin.
Yeah, I look suede-y, Jessica?
You always have kind of like pretty, like porcelain, like, yeah, not like dewy. You don't look dewy, but you don't look, you know,
matte.
Like you have, yeah, not too matte. I'm using this word skin texture. I guess it means nothing. I needed to go back to the drawing board.
So you want pretty skin that looks... This is actually a line I'm going to use in the next Business of Fashion column I'm writing. I'm writing about men's grooming. Somebody from, I think it was Lab Series, they were talking about guys and makeup, and they said they want perfection without detection.
Ooh.
And I was thinking, so do we, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We don't want to look like we have a ton of makeup on and spend a lot of time on it.
We also the three women in this room, agree.
Kind of perfect. Yes. But yeah, I totally believe in makeup, but I believe in makeup that makes you look like you, but better.
Sarah, what do you think people get wrong about the beauty business?
I think what people get wrong about the beauty business is that they think it's very sort of fluffy and inconsequential. And it's super fun. And yes, as beauty editors, we do spend a lot of time thinking about which mascara is best. And, you know, do we like the finish on this lipstick? And, you know, is this a good pump or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
But also, when you get into the business, you realize two things. One, it is big business. It is a huge part of our economy and a part of the economy globally.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's
serious.
It's not anything to sniff at. Two, the thing that I love about the beauty business and the thing that has always made me be proud to be in it is that I feel like we have this incredible power and also responsibility to our reader. You know, it's not just about selling her some stuff or, you know, it's the idea of this.
Or to women in general.
Beauty can be transformational, you know, and so we have this responsibility to, I don't know, like we would never write about things like cellulite cream, stuff we thought was bullshit, mm-hmm. stuff we thought was mm-hmm. unrealistic, you know, whitening products, things like that we didn't feel like we're giving good message. But the incredible thing is that if you can encourage someone or give someone information that empowers them to make choices that make them feel amazing,
mm-hmm.
like it can be something as small as a lipstick color to the right foundation that's going to give you that velvety skin to, you know, a new trick for dabbing on foundation to a haircut to plastic surgery, frankly,
mm-hmm.
you know, to,
mm-hmm.
you know, to get tweaking something that never has made you feel good.
Right.
If you can come out of it feeling amazing, your life changes.
Those are our favorite fan letters by far from the podcast. I decided to try doing this and I feel better about myself.
Yeah, and that's the power of beauty. And it's something so small that can mean so much. And this kind of writing that I've always enjoyed doing the most and the stuff that I've gotten the most feedback out of has been the personal stuff where I've talked about like my own insecurities or things that I've sort of gotten past. And it's been incredible. The response from readers. And,
it's so
you know,
true.
That those are the people when you said, you know, now are you recognized all the time? I wrote a story called What's My Era right when I got to Vogue. It was like 2003. And it was basically about like learning to.
I remember the photo. Did you have a photo in profile?
Yeah,
I remember that.
It was like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
That is the because of that piece, to this day, people stop me on the street. In the United States, in Europe, like in airports around the world, people say, "You're Sarah Brown. You wrote that piece. I gave it to my daughter." So, like, people and you guys, what were you in like high school when that came out? I mean, you're remembering that.
We were working.
So, no, you weren't.
Yes, we were.
Okay, wait, that brings me to. No, we were working because I was.
As a babysitter?
Stop it.
I loved that piece, but I was intimidated by it because I'm going to bring up something.
Can you say what the point of the piece was? Just so because people don't know what's my era,
the genesis of that was that I had just gotten my job and I was having lunch with Anna, and it was my first lunch with her. I was so nervous that I just went into autopilot and was like blabbing nonstop because I didn't want there to be any awkward pauses, mm-hmm. you know? And I was just like stream of conscious blabbing away very quickly. And one of the things that flew out of my mouth was I said, you know, I've never felt like I belong in this time. I've always felt like I'm out of my era. She said, what do you mean? And I said, well, you know, I feel like I should have lived in the 1400s or the 20s. Like I would have been real hit. You know, I have weird features that don't work now. Like I never feel like I'm the pretty girl now, but you know, I didn't ever feel like the hot girl in high school or anything like that. But back then, or even this Marie Antoinette that I just did for Halloween, mm-hmm. I had so many people say, this is your time. It's mm-hmm. like, yeah, I belong in a different time. And so it was like the idea of feeling like I would have been a real beauty in like 1453, you know?
was Anna so like totally, I get what
you're
saying.
No, she loved it and she said, write about it. And I had never thought about that. And so I wrote about it. And so that's the story. And so the story was about feeling out of my era and out of my time, but also about growing into myself and coming, making peace with the way I look.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was such a great piece. I mean, I didn't even realize it was a great piece when I was writing it. I just wrote it and I was like, I don't know, I was like, you know, 25 or whatever I was. And I've reread it over the years and there are some great lines, and I'm not saying they were my great lines. Like there were great lines from like art historians and psychologists, and like Kevin O'Quinn said something to me that was so great. He said, the world adores the original and doesn't like the copy. Mm. And that was so inspiring to me because I felt like, yeah, it's pretty cool to not look like anybody else. Mm-hmm. Why would I want? And then like sort of end the piece with that. Like the idea of, because I was talking about some study that talked about generic faces, the beauty standard is for like sort of the same kind of look, mm-hmm. right?
Familiarity.
But the same kind of look, you know, like wide-spaced eyes, small nose, this, big, you know, lips, just this like symmetrical face, right? And how those faces do not stand out of a crowd.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? But they're the accepted beautiful,
but
right?
They're pleasant.
And so
yeah.
The conclusion I came to was, why would I ever want to blend into the crowd? Like, I don't want to live my life like that. It's so much cooler to not blend into the crowd.
Mm-hmm, right.
But then you have to grow up, and it's part of something that you know, I think anybody would struggle with throughout their life. I do, certainly, just mm-hmm. continually reminding yourself that it is great not to look like everybody else, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And trying to, I don't know, instead of hate this thing about yourself, like it. Like, going on this show, I was thinking, fuck, I have, you know, 10 cameras pointed at me. Like, how do I know the angle is going to be good?
Yeah.
And then I just felt like I can't be thinking about this because there's nothing I can do.
Yeah.
I just have to hope for the best.
obviously our listeners can't see you right now, but you have a super fair complexion, blonde hair. Google her. She's a very distinctive look. Let's talk about the products that you use to care for this distinctive look. Your fair complexion that you, I mean, your skin is still really amazing, but like
still
flawless.
Yeah, like no. To tell us, what are some of your favorite products? Have you always been devoted to SPF?
Obviously, sunscreen's really important. I've always been devoted to SPF because it's because I'm so pale that I literally will get very bad sunburn if I don't wear SPF. So that's why I started being a very avid SPF user. Currently, I'm loving this Spanish brand called ISDIN. ISDIN. Oh, yeah.
It looks like a Tommy Hilfiger logo. I've always thought
it's like a kind of, you don't know where it's from. It's kind of clinical. It's kind of like, I don't even know what's going on with it. But it's from Spain, I believe. And it's awesome because it is a mineral formulation. It's the only mineral block I've used for face that it is not chalky. It is not pore cloggy. It goes on. You can wear it just with
nothing.
You
don't look lavender.
You don't look anything. It's like a veil. Nice. I mean, but it's not a greasy veil. I mm-hmm. love it. And you can put it on your body. It's great. So I'm loving that, and I also always try to get sunscreen in my day cream or in my foundation. I always appreciate that, but now I'm feeling more and more like it's really important for them to be mineral. I don't want chemical sunscreens anymore.
Mm-hmm. Really?
There's too much to suggest that it's not a good idea.
And the minerals have gotten so much better.
They're getting better.
Yeah.
Do you wear a hat in the summer when you like you can just walk down the street?
Yes.
What kind of hat?
Usually, this is why she needed the 1400s so she could have a parasol everywhere.
Exactly. I have like all manner of sort of sun hat, but most of the time I'm in a baseball cap, although Pat Wexler, dermatologist to the stars, told and my dermatologist, she was like, a baseball hat's useless. And the idea is that, you know, you want something that covers your neck and the back of your neck and your ears, and a baseball hat only covers sort of like a little bit of the front of your face. But,
yeah.
you know,
your money maker.
I wear a baseball hat a lot.
You're like, top of the ears, fine. They can age.
My whole family, we all have like baseball hats from U.S. Open and Wimbledon. Millions.
And let's talk about your hair a little bit. I feel like you have one of those haircuts that's pretty iconic. You've had it for a while.
Thank you.
Right? It's like your look. How do you get that? Like, it's not slicked, but it's sort of groomed. No, and what product what
it
is like? That?
It always has I've the
never
same,
seen,
like, style.
So you just fluffed it. I've never seen it fluffed. It's always like smooth.
Yeah, fluff it. Like, fluff it up. Fluff it.
Well, it's winter, so they're not...
Oh, my God. You just turned into a California girl.
Totally different. Too much.
But that's not what I think of when I think of you. I think of, like,
control.
Yeah, what's the product?
The product is a discontinued product that I literally found one ancient tube of. It's a little pump. It's Warren Trachomi finishing cream, and I literally have to beg them to see if they can make it again or if they have anything else. The thing that's key about it is that... So I have wavy hair, but it's not super thick. I like it. I like a little bit of control, but I don't like there to, like, if you were to pet my hair, which
you're far away, so I can't reach, but yes,
it's super soft. It doesn't feel like there's anything in it.
Yeah, and I like it's it not
to
crunchy.
Look, yeah. I like it to look really shiny and soft, pretty. This stuff, it's just invisible.
How do you feel about a Kiehl silk
no
room?
Finish.
That's kind of
too
vibe.
Heavy for me.
Too heavy.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the thing, because if you have fine hair, but you have textured hair, it's really hard to get a finishing product, because I put it in my hair when it's wet and then my hair just air dries.
What about the John Frieda, like, that secret weapon?
What secret weapon?
It's called Secret Weapon.
Oh. I think most everything is too heavy for me.
Okay.
This Warren Trachomi stuff is just so great. I love it. That always happens to me with hair products. I use one thing for like 10 years.
You told us about your highlight that you use, your Lumine. What other products are you into these days?
Okay, so I have like super regimented and super faithful to things that I love and that work for me. So I love my Biteri foundation. Mm-hmm. Sheer Expert is just, there's just nothing better in my opinion. I've tried everything. I'm always trying new things. I've definitely tried things that I like a lot, but I always come back to it. So there's that. I like this Lumine little drops as a highlight. Stila Kitten eyeshadow.
Oh, that's a classic.
It's not too sparkly for you?
Well, I've got it on. Do I look crazy?
No.
I mean,
I feel like it gets all over my face when
I put
it on.
It's because you didn't tap your brush, babe.
Oh,
that's what Trish McAvoy taught me.
Okay,
if this is your brush, and you tap, then
like okay. It's a cigarette, Jess.
By the way,
like a 1920s flat brush.
By the way, I love Urban Decay eye potion or whatever it's called.
Okay, yeah,
so that's
like
that's a
lid primer.
It's a lid primer that. For something like Kitten, which is really highly pigmented, it makes it go on completely smooth, like smoother than it would have normally, and it also completely stays. So literally, it could be like the height of summer. You would put it on in the morning. By the end of day, you would not have creased eyeshadow.
Okay.
It is like, and I've tried everybody's lid primer. Nothing works as well as that.
That's good.
So that is great. My Stila Kitten cannot live without. I'm not loyal to eyeliners, but there are a whole bunch that I like. I love Charlotte Tilbury. I like the big sort of fat crayons.
The Color Chameleon.
I like Charlotte Tilbury's and all the gem tones.
Uh-huh.
I like Makeup Forever quite a lot. Mm-hmm. They're like the skinnier
the
pencils.
Aqua Eyes ones. Yeah.
Urban Decay.
Mm-hmm.
The fat chubbies.
Oh, no, the fat 20, one.
Yeah, the 24/7.
Okay. Yeah,
but they're fat ones and thin ones. And then also Urban Decay makes really good these liquid liners that are in like sort of sparkly jewel tone. I mean, these are things that look super, like if you were to come over to my house, you'd be like,
I wouldn't have
disco
guessed that was
queen.
In your kit.
I know.
Yeah. Like a teen.
It looks like some like sparkle teen, but it's not. It's what I wear every day.
Sparkle teen. Sarah Brown sparkle teen.
So yeah, I love those liquids. Clarins has a really good black liquid liner that's sort of like for people who aren't good at using liquid liner. It's the one that has the three prongs.
Oh, I thought that was kind of gimmicky.
No,
but
it's great. It's great because it does a really it's much easier to use than a calligraphy pen.
Really?
You can also
I looked at that and I was like, this is just a marketing hoo-ha.
No, it's not. And it's also if you're like someone who really can't do liner, you can just take it and like stamp it.
Oh, in between your lashes, the little prongs get in between when you're tight lining, as they say.
Oh,
and so it makes like a pretty good line, but it's also for someone who's not confident drawing a line.
Ooh, good tip.
Yeah, I love that. Then I'm pretty much not loyal to mascara, but I'm a person that gets like a lot of like black residue under my lower lid.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. It drives me crazy. Do I have like greasy lids or something.
I don't know. What's happening. I touch my eyes a lot.
Makes me crazy. So, and it's the worst when you're going from appointment to appointment and then you get home and you realize that your eye makeup's a mess. And like, what did you look at that appointment? You know, I can't afford that. So who can?
And you're like, at what time in the day did it start and you looking
feel
like
really,
this?
You
Where
feel
was
really
I?
Betrayed by
yeah.
your mascara.
Yeah,
and, like,
you do.
Really pissed.
It's a good point.
No, and I throw that out immediately. So anyway, the ones that don't let me down, Chantecaille, really good mascara.
Mm.
MAC, I'm using some MAC right now that I think is a limited edition because it's like, it's the one that's got like a, like it's pink and yellow.
Oh, yeah. Kabuki or whatever Something. The illustrator's
Anything
name.
Anything that has
it's really good.
Pink and yellow
Kabuki?
From MAC.
It's good. Kabui? It's good.
We'll figure it out.
And then CoverGirl Lash Blast.
The orange
The greatest.
Tube.
Oh, wow.
It
okay.
is so good. Will not let you down. Kevin O'Quinn's mascara.
The volumizing?
Yeah, but it's like the really skinny mm-hmm. thing. That's
it's
awesome.
Come up a lot on the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trying to think what other. Okay, so I used Tarte's Flush Stick. It's the. I still call it that. It's what it was
the
called.
The original
when,
one.
Yeah, it's called. What's called when
Maureen did it back
when
in the day with the little deodorant.
It, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So it's the red one. Like it's red like this Coke can. That's what mm-hmm. I put on my cheeks.
Wow.
And it's. I love using.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
It's not a cream blush because it's more
like
a
gel. Almost, like a solid gel.
It looks like a deodorant. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't use anything else.
Wow.
I've been using that since she launched it.
And before you go, Jess has to ask.
What fragrance were you wearing when you walked in? Because you smelled divine.
Okay, as I said, I'm super loyal when it comes to people, places, things, and beauty products. And I've been wearing the same Frederick Malle fragrance for 15 years. It's called Lys Méditerranée. And I think I've consumed more of it than any person on the planet.
Really?
I cannot live without it. I've had people, like not one or two times, like I can't count how many times. I'm not kidding. I've had people chase me down the street, run back into an elevator. I've had three different taxi drivers pass me a slip of paper over the barrier and say, can you write down the name of what you're wearing? I think that's a place to spend.
Yeah. CoverGirl Lash Blast.
The CoverGirl Lash Blast performs.
Right.
I mean,
the fragrance. And so does
Lys. Oh, and also for lips. Sorry, I didn't tell you lips.
Yeah.
Love Chanel lip products.
Today
I'm wearing a new NARS. Well, I can't remember the name of anything because now that I'm not beauty editing all the time, I don't have to know.
You don't have to do credits.
You have to do market.
But you know the sheer, like the Rouge Allure, the sheer, like I like there's one called Aura. I think it's like a blackberry stain. I like Chanel for lips. I like.
I love how she's going back for more. She's Lancome. Like, I didn't finish my face.
No, there's. So, I mean, I'll try anything.
This is a true
lips,
beauty
basically.
Editor.
I know.
But yeah, but Lise Mediterrane is so it's.
It smells delicious.
So if you're gonna spend
my forever.
There.
But don't. But hey, people out there, don't buy Lise Mediterrane. Find your own perfume. It's very important to have your own signature.
Yes.
Like the thing that is perfectly you. That's I feel I've always said this. This is very like I should be in like a silk bathrobe saying this, but it's like finding your fragrance is like finding a lover, you know.
Ooh.
Like once you know you've found the right one,
stick with it.
But also, the right one for you is not the right one for someone else. It's like you don't. It's not something where you should copy someone else. And also, like that person for me, it is my signature. I took a long time to find it and.
Yeah.
Everyone should find the thing that suits them. So.
Find your era, people. Own it. Then find your fragrance.
Yeah.
And find your niche.
A lot of wisdom today.
It's a good message, right? And should we say, I would be can't remember the word.
Remiss?
I would be remiss if I did not encourage you to watch my television show, Thursdays, on Lifetime, after Project Runway.
On message, Sarah Brown. Thank you so much for coming on Fat Mascara.
Sarah, this is fun.
Thanks, you guys.
Time to raise a wand, and we're getting into it, because guess what we're raising a wand to?
Oh my God, what are we raising a wand
Miss to? Miss Jessica Matlin's bachelorette party.
Oh my God, I was wondering if we were going to mention it, because
of course
it
we
was,
have to.
It was a beauty bash, man.
Yes. Okay, first of all, let me just shout out some of the fun things that we did and had. We all did some masks for Maskology, little kitten masks, and then... what did you think of the Charlotte Tilbury palette?
Oh my God, that was... luxury.
I was able, thank you, Charlotte Tilbury, to get all the little ladies and gentlemen that were there this eyeshadow palette that had their name on it.
You know, Grazia called it the most coveted palette in the world.
I
and
didn't
you got like 10 of
know
them
that.
Personalized.
Let's be honest. I don't know many of Jess's friends from home or older friends. And as you know, if you've listened to the podcast, we really, our friendship has just started basically when we started the podcast.
I barely know this person.
Yeah. Who am I to her? Somehow she let me come along to her bachelorette party. So I was really nervous to meet all of your friends.
Oh.
They turned out to be, of course, freaking awesome. But I'm not going to lie. I brought the palettes because I was like, I'll just buy their friendship with these.
Sold. I think everyone was freaking out over
it. I also brought... I really was trying to buy all their friendship. The Josh Sellers wine, because we did some wine tasting. But let's be honest, it was like shots of wine.
Yeah.
We did wine tasting on the North Fork, and it was like chance. There was a chance, like we were on the Jersey dance floor. But then back at home, we had Josh Sellers, and we were drinking some Cab and some Chardonnay.
And you found your confidence with that Josh wine.
I did. I found my confidence. but I just want to give a shout out because your friends were awesome and so Aww. Welcoming. And I don't know. I liked meeting them and raise a wand
to
you.
We had the best. Oh, thank you. We had the best time. We had the best time.
Okay.
I'm still like so buzzing from it. On the same note, I want to raise a wand to my kitty cat socks that I've been wearing. And there was an extra pair thrown in there, so I don't know how we got that. But there were little kitty cat thigh highs from Always Fits. I never heard of this brand until you told me about it, and now like I found all this other cute stuff from them.
I'm obsessed with the website, which is kind of the idea is alwaysfits.com. Like it's the
it's
things
all accessories.
That, yeah, and nothing will ever not fit you, so you can always find gifts for people there because why not? But we'll put a picture. We'll do a little Instagram of they're like thigh highs, but the little kitty faces on the knee. You guys hear me getting cuted out by cats. You
know
it takes a lot.
Are you still drunk?
I might still be drunk.
Okay. No, I love them. They were gray and black. They're very chic, very understated.
And cozy probably, for the winter.
Yeah, they're really nice. So very cute. It was a bachelorette party for the ages.
And don't worry. Next episode, we'll get back to like a simple beauty products, but I couldn't let that go without saying raise a wand.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening. We're growing because of people like you telling your friends and fam and all that. But if you really want to help us out, which would be amazing, please go over to iTunes and write us a little review or just throw us some stars.
5, please.
That would be incredible.
And if you want to know where to find any of the people or places or things we talked about, go to fatmascara.com and check out our blog. You can follow us on all the social channels at fatmascara or email us at info@fatmascara.com.
We'll even read your letters on the air.
So profesh.
So profesh.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
This season, prepare for every season with the Allbirds Mizzle Collection. These shoes were made for adventures in rain, shine, mist, or snow. Go to allbirds.com and use code FRESHSOCKS for a free pair of socks with your purchase.